So welcome to the last session of Tech Days 2013. So we'll talk about SharePoint. Okay for everyone? No, just joking. The title for the next hour is Build and Test a Windows 8 App with Team Foundation Service. I'm Peter, and this is Kevin. But before we get started, Kevin wants to tell you something.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin, and I lost my voice here in Antwerp. I'll do my best to speak, but don't laugh when you caught me speaking like a squealing pig. How geeky is this?
Okay, so from time to time, I will be like a pig, so just don't laugh too hard about it. Keep it for yourself. Now, let's go back to the slides. Now, I know that this is the last session of your Tech Days, so I know that you're tired. And hopefully you have a little bit of space, rest, things that you would like to see today. So relax, we're going to keep it very easy. We're going to have a big demo. Instead of talking about 80 slides, we just want to show you how we can build an app and test it with Team Foundation Services. Now, as Peter already mentioned, I'm Kevin Rudder. I'm a web engineer working for the Technical University of West Flanders, where I basically give development courses, JavaScript, C#, XAML, pretty much all the Microsoft things and web things that are under the sun there. And this is Peter, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Hi, so my name is Peter Hazens. I'm a Visual Studio ALM MVP working for Sparkles, a company that focuses on application lifecycle management solutions on top of Team Foundation Server. Sparkles also organizes advanced IT training classes with international experts. Sparkles was also present here at Tech Days with the conference booth, and we will give away some prizes also. So for all the people who came to the booth and subscribed to our newsletter, you can still do that, by the way. You can win some discount on our trainings. I'm also the user group lead for the Visual Studio user group in Belgium. So maybe some hands. Who's already a member of the user group? Okay, some hands, not that many. For those who don't know the user group, we are a free user group, and we deliver about 15 to 20 technical evening sessions a year. And 2 weeks ago, we announced our first Physik event conference, Physik Day conference, on April 17 with all international speakers. So we will run three parallel tracks. Track one is about Windows 8 and Windows Phone, a second track about HTML and web, and we have also a dedicated ALM track. So if you like what you have seen this week about application lifecycle management or one of the others, I encourage you to go to the Physik Day website and look at the details and sign up if you like what you see.
Okay. Now, what's the story between us? As I said, we're going to build an app. So it's good to know that I'm the developer. So all the code that is going to be written today is going to be done by me. And Peter is basically your average project program manager, scrum master, making sure that all the developers are working in the same way. Now, when Peter and I work together, it's always a happy thing today as well. So just to make sure that I'm showing this correctly, this is Peter. I'm the developer. And what are we going to do today? Well, today is going to be all about Team Foundation Service. So Peter is going to set it up, create an application and stuff like that. And then we're going to build and test the Windows 8 store application. Now, to show you which application that we're going to create, I'm just going to start the application. It's a geeky application, which is just going to combine all my favorite stuff together. So we will see some Dilberts, we will see some geeky news, there is semantic zoom, so it's not your normal Contoso cookbook demo application. It has the same features, but it's kind of different. There's a share and so on and so on. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to add a search functionality to it. That's my task that I'm going to do. And I'm also going to add a geeky thing in it, which we're going to see at the end. So let's close it for now. And let's go back to the slides, and I'm going to give the word to Peter because I need to cough.
Okay, so let's get started. First of all, I will talk a bit on Team Foundation Service. And I will explain to you also the specific differences between a Team Foundation Server on-premises and Team Foundation Service, TFS, in the cloud. After that, it's demo time, all the way until the end of the session. We will kick off the demo with Kevin. He will try to finish the Windows 8 app, because we still have some missing features. When Kevin believes he's ready, we will package, so when he's really ready with the development stuff, we will build and package the application for testing with Microsoft Test Manager 2012. So I know Kevin already for some years, and I'm pretty confident that I will find a bug in his application. So I will need to file a bug report, and I will send it back to Kevin, and he will need to come up with some kind of solution. So that's our simple agenda, so nothing really special here. If Kevin doesn't write bugs, we'll be done in 35 minutes. So we'll see. Kevin, what do you think? You will be done?
Of course, and it's going to be very special.
Okay. Good. Team Foundation Service. Who already has an account on Team Foundation Service? Okay, not that many, but that's good. That's why you're probably here. So Team Foundation Service, Team TFS in the cloud. Why do you really need to care? Well, first of all, it's a free service. It's running in the cloud, and it offers a number of important features for managing, developing, building, but also testing your software development projects. So from now on, you can really manage your software development projects from a central entry point in the cloud. So that's really important, because you can access it from everywhere, no matter where you are, with many people. Another important feature of Team Foundation Service in the cloud is that new features will be added along the way. So it's not a box product. It will not be updated in a few years. It will get regularly some updates. Also, the nice thing is that Microsoft is doing all the heavy lifting here. So you don't need to set up a specific Team Foundation Server in your environment. So you don't need to take care about installation, configuration, and the maintenance. So there are only a few people on this planet who actually like to do it, who like to set up a Team Foundation Server. Who has done this already in the past? Did you like it? Okay, indeed. So, but all heavy lifting, like I said, is now done by Microsoft. So this is also a big benefit. The good news is also that you can still use your familiar tools to connect to Team Foundation Service. So Visual Studio or Microsoft Test Manager will connect as easy to Team Foundation Service as to a Team Foundation Server. Of course, there are some specific differences, and I have a slide on that, so I'll show you what's different. But before I go there, let's get started. So let's do something with Team Foundation Service. So this is the homepage. So if you navigate to tfs.visualstudio.com, you will get to see this. And you can sign up for free. I have to create some kind of account name here, so I will see if it's still available. This morning, it was still available. So I'll create an account. No, not anymore. Someone was quicker than me. So yeah,
you did with the demo this morning.
No, I didn't create it. I just tried to access it. So let's do something like this, maybe without underscore. So here we go. So I've created a new account on Team Foundation Service. So the first thing you can see is you, of course, need to create a team project. So that's still the same. So I can choose to create a new team project with Team Foundation version control. But from now on, I'll also be able to create a new team project with Git version control support. Let's create a new team project, a regular one. And I will use the default templates here. And I use also Team Foundation version control. So as you see, it's It's set up in a few seconds here, and in some extra seconds I will have a team project and I'll be able to connect with Visual Studio to this team project in the cloud. So I will just wait a few seconds more here. Normally it doesn't take that long. In the meantime, I already take this URL. So it's created. So I can navigate to the project from my browser. And from within Visual Studio, I'll open a new one. And in here, I can just connect to another team project. So I'll add my new account. And here it is. And I immediately see also my new team project. Yes. So I'm connecting, and I want to link it to my file system so I can add a solution to it. So I'll map it. I will create a workspace mapping. So here it is. I will map this to some kind of demo folder. So the root of the team project collection to have a demo folder, yes. All right, and I'm good to go. So I can now create a solution inside Visual Studio, and I will bound it to version control. So I'll first do get latest that I have actually my workspace here. I will copy this local path, and now if I create a new Windows 8 app, Grid app, for example, it doesn't matter the solution name, the project. So it's generating the Windows 8 app locally on my machine, and I will choose to save it under Team Foundation version control. Yes. All right, and you see already the icons near that, and from here I'm able to do initial check-in of my solution. So that's how you get started. Create an account, create a team project, and upload your sources. So easily done in a few minutes. What you also see in the browser, so if I go back to the homepage, you have some interesting pages to learn more about Team Foundation Server, because now I'm connecting from Visual Studio to Team Foundation Service. You can also connect from other client tools like Eclipse if you want to do Java development, but also put your sources in Team Foundation Service. Also with Xcode, if you're creating iOS apps, you can also store your code in Team Foundation Service. And let me go through quickly the features. So instead of showing you some extra slides, I'm using the feature tour here online to show you what's possible with Team Foundation Service. So connecting from Visual Studio 2012 to Team Foundation Service, I already showed you that. This is a screenshot of how you can connect from Eclipse with the Team Explorer Everywhere plugin. So it's a free plugin for Eclipse, where you will be able to put your Java sources also to a Team Foundation version control repository. This is not really a Team Foundation Server feature, but of course in Visual Studio 2012 you can make use of the new diff engine to compare your source files. You can also use it in the merging experience, so the diff engine is also used there. This is also a view on the new Team Explorer, also a Visual Studio feature. And this is an important one because this is your home page of your team project. So for each team project you create, you will see this new web access experience, which has been rewritten. And it will give you immediately an overview of what's going on in your project. So it gives you a burn down of the current iteration. It will give you some shortcuts to queries or to your builds. And it will create also some shortcuts where you can see your product backlog and so on. So we'll come back to that. It also includes a task board to follow up the status during a sprint. You will be able to easily manage your product backlog from a web browser. You will be able to do the breakdown of individual user stories and also see what's the capacity of your team if you're able to get everything done. This view we have seen already, so this is the home page. And also important, this is new in Visual Studio 2012 and TFS 2012, you're also able to connect with the feedback client tool to Team Foundation Service. So the feedback client tool is there to request early feedback from your stakeholders in the software development process. So you can invite your stakeholders to connect to Team Foundation Server with the feedback client tool, and then all that information that's captured from your stakeholders will also be put in different work item types in TFS. PowerPoint storyboarding, we won't talk about this, but it also allows you to add your storyboarding items inside work items in TFS. And last but not least, you're also able to manage builds in Team Foundation service. So the service also has a hosted build controller where you can launch your builds, CI builds, or builds that package your application and deploy it. Okay, back to the slides. So demo we've done. Pricing, so it's still a free service and it will stay that way with a few limitations. A paid plan will also be announced this year, so we still have to wait for that. But in the free plan, you will be able to connect up to 5 users. For the rest, you can create as many team projects as you want. You can use Git or TFS version control, so there's no difference, and you can use the standard features, which are also part of Team Foundation Server. But what are exactly the differences between Team Foundation Service and Team Foundation Server? So the service outperforms the server on a few points. So for the service, there's no setup, no administration, practically no. And you can also collaborate with everyone. So without doing anything, when you create your team project and Team Foundation Service, you're ready to connect with everyone in your team wherever they are located. There are, of course, a number of features on the server which are not present in the service. So for example, Visual Studio Lab Management, you cannot use it on Team Foundation Service. So Lab Management is actually an extension for Team Foundation Server, and it allows applications to be easily deployed in virtual environments. So that feature is not available for the service. The SharePoint integration, so on a regular Team Foundation Server, you're able to also connect your environment to a full-blown Microsoft Office SharePoint Server to create nice dashboards and so on. So this is also a feature which is not available in the service. And last but not least, you are not able to report on a data warehouse in the service. So the server has an excellent data warehouse for reporting, not available in service. What's not mentioned here, but what's also a limitation, is once you create a team project in the Team Foundation Service, you're not able to customize the process template at this moment. So this is also a limitation that you need to know. So we will start the demo now. First of all, I will go through the product backlog and assign some work for Kevin so he can start implementing that. Okay. So I will switch to another instance of Team Foundation Service. So we have found a cool name, thanks to Kevin. He took this account a few months ago, or I don't know when it exactly happens. I love visualstudio.com. So in there we have a team project, Tech Days 2013.
Basically it was because Peter loves Visual Studio and just wanted to make sure that I had it before him, because I was hoping that he would buy it from me, but which not happened yet. So hopefully by the end of today, he's going to love it and he's going to pay me millions for it.
Yeah, dream on. Okay, so let's have a look at our backlog. So this is our homepage. I will navigate to my backlog. And we see practically there are no items left on our product backlog because we have already started an iteration in the beginning of the week. We've created the Windows 8 app. But we need to enter some missing features. So I want to really make sure that we have the missing features in the product that we launched today. So I will add some product backlog items here. So we want to include search functionality. And we also want to provide an extra geeky experience. So it's quite easy to enter new stuff to the product backlog items. So those are things to do on our list. If I open them, I can assign them to Kevin. I can add some estimation. So in story points, for example, this is 3 story points. And we also save it, of course. And the other one, we also enter an effort for also assign it to Kevin. Save and close. But the sprint one is already busy, so I need to assign it also to the sprint. So we as a team, we need to commit to those new items that were added to the product backlog. Okay, we know this is not really Scrum, because once you are inside an iteration, you should not accept change. But for this demo, we just want to show you how easy it is to move things to sprint one. So I can just drag and drop those two new product backlog items. And here you see that the iteration path changes, also for the second one. And the other thing I need to do, I need to commit those things that they will be removed from the product backlog. So here I will change the state to committed. Also for the second one. And they are off my product backlog, and they are inside my sprint backlog. So in here you see that a lot of items are already done. But I want also to do a breakdown of those new product backlog items. So here I will also create a detailed task for Kevin. So he needs to create an app bar. Yes, app bar. And he also needs to create UI animation plus trigger. So assign it directly to Kevin. And maybe I will add 1 hour work. The same I will do for the other product backlog item. So add a task here. So needs to do the search UI. 2 hours remaining work. And the other one, he also need to do the implementation of the search. Also assign it to Kevin. And let's say this is also 2 hours of work. And what we see now directly on my right hand side that we are not able to do this anymore in this sprint because it doesn't match our current capacity. So if I switch to the capacity tab in my sprint, I can see that Kevin only works 3 hours a day on our iteration. So let's increase this number. Let's say 6 hours a day. Save. And immediately what you see, everything becomes green again. It's feasible for us as a team to commit this first iteration. So go back to the contents. And everything is green. I can also switch now to my task board. And here we see the two new things that were added. So the extra geeky experience and also the search functionality with the tasks that are assigned to Kevin. Going down, I see that the other product backlog items were implemented. There's still one open here. For example, I can close it because we've done this mm-hmm. right before the session. So I drag and drop this to the done column, and the remaining work has moved to zero, and it's in the done phase. So I can pass the word now to Kevin, and he will start implementing those tasks because those were assigned to him. So let's switch. Go, Kevin.
Okay, so I'm going to work in my favorite environment, which is, of course, Visual Studio. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a look at the work that I need to do. And if I'm going to wait a few moments, what you're going to see is that the tasks that Peter just created are on the right side. So I need to implement a search. I also, of course, need to provide a search UI. Otherwise, we will not see a lot of things. And at the end, I also need to create an animation that looks kind of geeky. So let's start with the first one, which is going to be the search UI. So I'm going to put this in progress. Add to in progress. The search is not implemented. Sorry. So as a proof, when I'm going to search, you see at the top right that the app cannot be searched at this point in time. So let me close that. Go back to Visual Studio, stop debugging. And I'm going to add a search contract. Now, I'm not going to go too deep on contracts, but the idea is that I'm just going to hook on the Windows 8 search so that I don't have to implement the search myself, but I'm going to let to do Windows all the work for me. So let me go look for the search contract, which is over here. Click the Add button. Start the application again. And from this moment on, basically the basic functionality of a search is there. So when we go to the charms bar, search, you see that sentence, your app cannot be searched, is gone, but I can search in it. For example, demo, enter. But what you will see is that my UI is not showing the title of my application. The application is called Your Daily Geek, so I want to have that title in there. So let me do that. Stop debugging again. And what I'm going to do is, by adding that contact, I already have a XAML file, which is the user interface. So I'm going to open it up. And what you'll see is here is the title, which is linked to a resource file. Now, I don't know if you attended Gilles' session on MVVM, and probably he told you that it was very important to use it. So I'm going to do that too. So in the code behind file, I'm going to link an MVVM model, which I already created, to the page. So I'm going to do this here, this dot default view model application is application model. I'm going to explain that in a moment. I need to import the namespace at using statement dot current. Now to show you what application model is, I'm going to show you a real cool feature of Visual Studio, which is code map. So I'm going to right click on application model, show on code map. You need to give it a moment because it's going to look through all your code files and it's going to generate a nice looking UI that is showing you the links of your things that you use in your code. So come on. Hopefully he's going to find it very soon. There you go. So what you will see is that I'm now in the load state method, which you can find over here, load state. And I right-clicked on application model. Now to show you that MVVM is implemented, I'm going to show you the base type, which is view model base, which is the default that you get from Visual Studio. Let me open that. And these are all the properties, fields that application model has. So if I want to show the title, I just need to use some data binding, application model, the title. So let me change that here in the UI. Let me close this for a moment. There we go. And let's go for page title is from my application. Let's do some binding. Application, I want to see the title. Start. And normally, if everything goes well, let's type demo again. You see that the title is now implemented. So let's say that I'm done for the demo, and I want to have a quick review of Peter. So what I'm going to do is open Visual Studio, go back to Team Explorer. And before I'm going to continue working on that file, I'm just going to ask a quick review from Peter. So here, in just below the suspend button, I'm going to ask, OK, Peter, can you review this?
This is also a new feature that was added to Visual Studio 2012 and Team Foundation Server 2012. You can request code reviews by members of your team.
Submit a request. Do you want to save that? Now, what is he going to do? And this is important. He is going to basically now send a request to Peter. And Peter is already going to implement this right now.
So I will do this in the background until you you can continue your other work.
Okay, go and send this to Peter. There you go. Now, because I don't want to continue with my search functionality, I'm going to suspend my work until Peter got a good review on this. So I'm going to suspend this. Now, the good thing about suspend is that he's going to save everything that I've done until now. So click suspend. There you go. And I'm going to start with my other work, which is, I'm not going to continue on search. He's reviewing it. I'm going to do the other thing, the geeky thing, which is create an app bar and the animation. So let's put this in progress. And what I'm going to do is, I want to have on my main page, which is this page that is going to pop up right now, I want to have an application bar at the bottom with a button in it. Stop debugging. Go to the hub. And I don't want to bother you with a lot of code, so I already prepared a bunch of code here. It should be checked out. Geeky app bar button. So this is the bottom app bar. Start the machine. Right click, and you'll see, yeah, it's white. But here on the corner right, you will see something popping up. That's my bar, but there's no button in it. So let me add that button for a moment. So on the left, so you have two stack panels, one for your selection buttons and one for the global buttons. So button, let's give it a name, is geeky button. Let's add automatic name as well. Let's do geeky and a click event generated for me. And also use a specific style. Go to the properties, search for style, bind it to local resource, the audio app bar button style. That's about it. So that's the style that he added it. Start it. And normally you should see a button on the left. There you go. Do geeky. So let me close that and write some code behind it. Right click, navigate to the event handler. And let's call some sound and audio, which is music. You should start playing. And then do a geeky. How did I call it? I created an animation with which spent me a lot of time working on it. It's a geeky storyboard. As you can see, there's a lot of code in there. And an animation to go back to the original position. So geeky storyboard.begin. And when you're completed, go back, geeky storyboard. When you're completed, is a B. Let's start the go back to original position dot begin. So that's the idea. We're just going to play sound, start a storyboard, and when you're done, we go back to the original position. So let's build this. I'm not going to test this right now. We're going to test that later. But let me first check that in. So go to Team Explorer, check in my code. I'm not going to give a comment because I just think that it's funny seeing a Scrum Master go wild while you check it in and you don't give comments. Normally, he would give a policy on it.
It's activated.
Ah, damn.
You can
see it. Didn't do that this morning.
Yeah. Didn't know about that.
Blah, blah. Check it.
That's not good, Kevin.
That's why I do it. Checking in two items. So that's done. Let's see if Peter got a review. Home, my work. And there you go. Remember that I asked Peter for a review. which he did, and I got my review back. So let's open it.
Okay.
And I asked him, is this okay for you? He said, hey, Kevin, review done. Looks pretty good. No major issues discovered there. And then he asked something else. Is this generated code? Let's click on it. And yes, that's generated code in the app.xaml.cs. So I'm just going to tell him, yes, that's normal. Okay, and I'm going to close the review, complete. Done. So Peter is happy right now. What I'm going to do is continue with my search work. So I'll go back to home, my work, put this in progress. Oh, no. I'm going to wait with that because I need to check in my code. I didn't check it in. I just asked for a review. And what you're going to see right now is when I'm going to resume my work before the review, what you will see is that he's going to open up the same files that I had before it was closed. And that is just to keep me as a developer in my zone. Okay.
So the suspend and resume feature is of course also new, and it will allow developers to really stay focused on the things they were doing at that moment in time. So they can suspend from anywhere and then go back when they are ready to continue. So everything will be restored, also breakpoints, your output window, other dialogue windows and so on. So everything will stay the same as if you were working before.
It's okay, it's checked in. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to quickly add some code. Peter, in the meanwhile, is going to add a test case because I see that we have, I spent already a lot of time working on the code. So I'm going to continue working on code while Peter is going to write a test case for the to build that we can see on the surface.
So let's switch back to my environment. So what Kevin has done, he did some changes and did some check-ins. I've navigated in the meantime to the builds page. So I started from the home page in my Team Explorer and navigated to builds. So here you can see that we've already set up some build definitions. So this build definition, for example, the your daily geek underscore feature branch 1 CI is a continuous integration build. So that means that for every time that Kevin does a check-in or some other team member, build will be kicked off automatically, a continuous integration build. So that build will validate the code, the check-in of Kevin. And in any case there was a failure, we will get notification so that we need to take action to resolve that issue because the build didn't complete successfully. But this CI build is just for giving us a notification. It will not give us some output that we can reuse to do the actual testing. So I'll create a new build definition here. So let's call this also your daily geek feature branch 1. And I will call it full build. So I'll leave the trigger to manual. But here you can see how easy it is to set up a continuous integration build. You can also go to a gated check-in build. So a gated check-in build will go one step further. So with continuous integration builds, you will experience sometimes a broken build. With the gated check-in build, you will avoid to have broken builds because the gated check-in build will first do the build. And only if the build succeeds, then he will check in your sources to the version control repository. It's like a delayed check-in. So first the build will validate everything that you are doing, and only when it's successful, then he will commit your changes to the version control repository. So here I'll leave it to manual. I'm creating also a workspace here. So I map it to my feature branch 1. So development. Feature branch 1. And I use not the hosted build controller. So a little explanation here. So instead of using the hosted build controller, I will use an on-premises build controller that I have set up on this laptop here. Because it's still not possible at this moment to build a Windows 8 app on the hosted build controller. So this is a feature which is missing at this moment. So that's why I just set up a build controller on my machine and I'm hooking it up to a Team Foundation service. And I'll also drop the output in TFS. So this is also an extra option I use here. And then I select a solution to build. So add a solution from my feature branch 1, Geek Humor. And I will build it in debug mode for any CPU. That's it. I will turn off to create a work item on failure, and I'll disable my tests for now. So we don't have any unit tests. So my full build has been created. It's part of the list now. I can add it as a favorite. So it's show up now in my favorite build definitions, and let's queue this. Did you check in everything? Can I launch a build to use the outputs? Because we need to.
Give me a moment.
Right.
Check in my work. Check in.
Because
comment.
This build will now pick up all the changes that Kevin did, and it's that output that we will use to test with Microsoft Test Manager. So it's really important that we have a valid build now. So it's checked in. I will refresh to also show you the continuous integration build. So here you see, Kevin did a check-in a second ago, and the build has been picked up by the build system. I'll also launch a full build, queue new build, use the defaults here, queue, and it will also be queued. So it's waiting because first of all the continuous integration build needs to finish. So what I will do now is create my my test case. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Microsoft Test Manager. So I've already opened Microsoft Test Manager. So it's not Visual Studio, but it's a dedicated tool for functional testers. So they will have the opportunity here to create a test plan for a number of iterations or for a global release. And in here, they can set up their test plan and also their test cases. So they can order all the test cases they want to link to a specific requirement. So here for the first iteration, I have already my requirements, and some contain a test case. So if I go to the last test case, you can see that I've already created a test case to verify the semantic zoom at different steps. I will also quickly do that for our new requirement. So I'll add a new requirement to my plan. So I'll look for the new ones. And where are they? So I need to go for the search functionality. So here it is. I add it to my plan. It's work item 69. I will also add a new test case. New test case. And it's the
search.
Test. So it's a verify search functionality. And I will add a number of test steps. So
launch the app. I will just
tell
him what he needs to do. So we're first going to launch the app.
All right. What's the expected result?
That it launches.
Okay. Application launches. Simple. Easy. All right. Next.
Use the charms bar to do a search.
Yes.
And we're going to search for Amazon.
So the expected result here is that the
charms bar is going to open.
Charms bar is opening. And we use the swiping gesture here. So I'll add this also. Use swiping. All right, next step.
It is important that you keep this simple because sometimes it's not a technical person who's going to test this. So use swiping and then search for Amazon.
For Amazon. Actually, I can use a parameter here. So for, let's say, search string. And then you will see that the parameter pops up here, and I can enter Amazon. So later on, I can easily change this. So the result is?
Well, normally now, I already tested, there should be a result for Amazon, I think one. And at the end, close the app.
So this will validate the search functionality that you implemented right now. Okay, I will save this. And we have a test case. So let's have a look at our build. So did they succeed all? So indeed, I have a full build here. So my full build did complete. Also quickly switch to the last check-in of Kevin. So what you can also see on each continuous integration build that you have a link to the associated chain set. So this quickly gives me the idea what was actually changed in the last change that Kevin did. So I can open up the chain set from here. It will open up in my details view, and I can compare it with the previous version, for example, and then you'll see the diffing experience in Visual Studio 2012. All right, let's go back to the other builds. So I want to have the output of the full build, so it's completed correctly. And the drop folder, I will not open it from here, but I specify that the drops should be put inside my version control repository. If I refresh this folder, I can refresh it from here, that's maybe easier. And indeed, we have some output from our full build. I will do git latest from here. Takes a while. And if I navigate to my file system, double click, we actually also have the output. So we have this one. Mm-hmm. This APPX file that we will deploy to our Surface device here. So here we have a Surface device. So what we will do now is I will add this build to our test plan, and then we will deploy the output of the build to the Surface device here on top of our table. So I'll copy the path, and then I will go to my test plan, and in the properties, I can specify to which build we need to execute our test cases. So here I will filter for the full build of feature bench 1, set build filter, and now I can pick up the latest build. So and here I get to see all the builds of my build definition. So I will assign this build to my test plan. It's okay. And now I need to switch to my test tab. So in planning, the planning tab is more for organizing your test plan and creating test cases. The test tab is really to execute your tests. And what we need to do, first of all, is create some kind of connection to the Surface device. So on top, I can modify where I want to perform my tests. So here I'm connecting to the Surface device, which has a weird name. I don't know why, Kevin? No?
I'm from Ghent.
OK. So let's
test. And I like it a lot, so I just repeat it.
Yeah. All right, so it's green. So I am able to connect from my laptop to the Surface device. Let's save this. And I will install my Windows Store app.
I'm just going to switch to the Surface.
Yep, so we will quickly go back. I don't deploy it yet. So here you already see the screen, yeah? So there's nothing deployed on there yet. So if I now activate the installation, maybe quickly switch back to show you. OK, it's already popping up, but I also want to show you how it looks like in this one. OK. So here you see in Test Manager that it did a number of steps to get it deployed on the Surface device. So you've seen that the app was deployed on the Surface device also, so we can now actually test it. So we will run our test case. So we will keep this view, mm-hmm. and you will see the different test steps first, and then you can switch to the device to let Kevin test the test case. So from here, I can now right-click and run this with options. By default, it's getting the latest build that was assigned to my test plan, so I will test my application to the latest build, any CPU debug, and I also use some test settings. So probably for you who have already worked with Microsoft Test Manager, have also seen what's possible to activate when you run a test case. So for example, you can activate a video recording of what you are doing. So that information is maybe very interesting for your development team. So if you would file a bug, that they also see a video of what the tester was doing at that moment in time. Or you can activate IntelliTrace logging. So you have all the details of what happened in the source code. You can also activate to capture the system information from the device you are testing on. Now, for testing a Windows 8 app on a Surface device, not all collectors are are working at this moment in time. So for example, IntelliTrace, it's not possible to capture IntelliTrace log files from a Surface device. I've activated the ones that will work, and we will quickly discuss what's inside there. So I'll just run this. And we'll switch now to, wait, maybe one more second. So I'll start the test. You already hear the sound. That's the sound on the surface that the app is getting deployed. And here you see the different test steps that we need to follow. So I will do them while Kevin will execute the actual test on the Surface device. So let's switch. So the first test step was to open the Daily Geek app. Can you open it? Okay, so it seems to open quite well. It's loading. Yes, so I will mark my test step in Microsoft Test Manager as passed. But I also want to create, for example, a screenshot at this moment in time. So I want to add this to the test run. So I will click to capture a screenshot from here. And afterwards, I will show you how it looks like. So I can now connect to the Surface device and pick up what's on the screen. All right, I've done this. Yes, you can now start the second test step. So it's using the charms bar to execute the search by swiping.
I already clicked on something. This app can't be searched, which is not good. The good thing about this demo is if it goes wrong, it's part of the demo, that we just need to create a bug. But that wasn't what I was expecting. So it doesn't work, fail.
OK, so I will switch back to my environment here. And actually, what you see now is I marked the first test steps as passing, but we have a failure. So we cannot search for Amazon at this moment. I will fail this step. And here you can also see the screenshot I added. So if I open this screenshot, you can see what I picked up from the Surface screen. From this window, from my test runner, I can also immediately create a bug. So I'll create a bug, and now Test Manager is collecting all the rich information from the Surface device, so what was going on at that moment in time. So what you see here is a detailed reproduction of what was happening during the different test steps. So I get to see that the first steps were passing, I get my screenshot, and test step 3 failed. But what you also get is system information. So on which environment were we testing this? So you have the computer name, also how many memory was assigned, which operating system was installed, and so on. So this is also valuable information for the development team. So the purpose here is to provide as much as possible information to the development team so that they are quickly able to reproduce the bug, so they don't need to spend a lot of time in reproducing it. And another thing that was captured, let's see it here, is an action log. This is also very interesting. So if it opens, so this is a visible representation of what Kevin was doing on the Surface device. So here, for example, opening the Daily Geek app, so it really points out where Kevin clicked. So I'm able to see what exactly was happening on the Surface device. So for a developer, getting a bug with this information is really valuable, because you can actually see what the tester was doing at that moment in time. Often now, when you get a bug from a tester, you will need to play the ping pong game to really know what he was doing at that moment in time. So also for the other steps, I can see what was happening. So here I also saw that Kevin was clicking on the search bar and something went wrong. So definitely we have some kind of bug. And this is all captured in the bug report. So I say search functionality is really not working. And I assign it to my favorite developer. And save and close. All right. It's already assigned to Kevin, so Kevin can look at the bug. In the meantime, I will also show you another feature inside Microsoft Test Manager 2012. So Microsoft Test Manager 2012 also allows you to do exploratory testing. So what I did here for the search functionality was to create a formal test case with formal test steps. So you need to spend some time to do that. So it takes time. So a tester will need to have some time to really set up a formal test case. What you can do now in 2012 is to do exploratory testing. So you can start from just a requirement, and you can start your test run, and you will do a number of actions. And when you have a number of actions done on the device, for example, you can say, from all those actions I've done, I want to create a test case from there. So he will copy all your actions and create a new test case from there. So that's quite easy. Let's show you that. So we'll close this iteration. And let's go to my test plan right here. And we have also the semantic zoom. And I want to explore it. So here, it's exploratory testing. You can also navigate to the test tab and do it from there, but I can do it immediately from the plan tab. Explore requirements. So again, I'm connecting to my remote device. And let's start this up. Kevin, can you do some more testing? I want to test the semantic zoom. So can you just navigate through the application and show you how the semantic zoom works?
Okay. The semantic zoom is implemented in the news part. Okay, geeky news. And then pinch. There you go. So now you can navigate between your most favorite.
Can I take a screenshot?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I see I have an issue with the connection here. So we need to... I think we need to do it again. The connection was lost to the Surface device.
Close it.
So a minute until it restarts. So I'll do it again. I'm exploring the requirements. Hopefully the connection is restored.
Come on, start.
Yes, and the recorder pops up again, and you can do the action.
Okay, start the application. Go to the geeky news. Semantic zoom.
Yeah, I will take a screenshot. Oh, maybe it's a...
No screenshot.
Okay, one last time. Sorry for that.
Apparently, it always loses the connection. I don't know if it's the Wi-Fi or something.
So the Surface device is connected to the wireless, and the laptops are connected to
just
the.
Just going to check.
Are wired so.
If we are still connected, yeah.
Okay, last test. Otherwise, we will continue. Okay.
Okay, I will do it fast. News. Geeky news, comma.
All right.
Take a screenshot.
Will I do it or not? Maybe this will break.
You already did it and it broke.
Okay. So I cannot show you this. We have some connectivity issues, but let's switch back to my environment and I will show you how it would normally look like. So if I start the explore requirement, I get a details pane at the left-hand side, where I start it again from here. And then you can provide some comments what you're actually doing. And also, I can add a screenshot of what's happening on the Surface device. So now I'm connecting to the Surface device, and I can really take a screenshot of what he's doing. I can even annotate it. This will open in Paint, and you can add some things here. I will not do that right now. I can provide some extra comments for a developer. And then when he did some actions, I can create a test case from here. So Kevin has been doing some actions, and all those actions can now be pushed to a test case. So I create a test case from here. Now, of course, he only did one action on the Surface device. But imagine that here you've done a number of test steps. All those actions can be pushed back to a new test case. And this is really easy because you don't need to do formal test case management. So semantic zoom. And I can save and close it. Also, if I would get a bug, I could immediately create a bug from here, and all the information, all the collectors would be in there. So I'll stop my testing. All right, Kevin, did you come up with a fix for the bug?
It works on my machine, so hopefully I do.
So maybe I'll switch back to your machine.
Okay.
So we have 50 minutes left.
So on my machine, again, I fixed it. Start, search for Amazon. There you go. So now he found somewhere here, there's the word Amazon, so it works great. So I fixed it. But I already checked it in, so that's...
So that means I can launch a new build?
Mm-hmm.
So let's launch a new build. So I'll switch back to my machine. And here you can see it. I'm launching a new full build. And then after that build finishes, I can add the output again to my test plan to do a retest of the search functionality. So this is the last part of our demo. Then we will switch back to the slides and finish off.
Run. That's why they got paid so much. They always have to wait, these TFS guys.
So it's dropping the output files to the drop location. That's good. Go to version control, do get latest here, and we'll get a new version of the application. Yes, there it is. I pick up number 2, Geek Humor packages, tests, and I need this file. So actually, shift and right click gives you a shortcut to copy as path. I can go back to my plan. And here I modify my assigned build. It's picked up already, assigned to plan. No, I don't want to view this right now. And let's go to my test search functionality. So this one failed, so it remembered. And let's test this again. So testing towards the second build. Run, start test, and let's switch to surface device. Yes, so open up the Daily Geek app. Kevin already did that.
Maybe you can show this, they didn't see that.
Yeah, it's fine.
So that's the other way around. You saw that in the beginning that I was testing it, and he just marks if it's succeeded, yes or no. So search, Amazon, search. Yeah, worked.
Okay, it's worked also.
Just close the app.
Yep.
Close it. Come on. Oh, okay. Yep.
Yep. So I end my iteration. And now I have a successful test case. Save everything and close it. And here we have it. It's green. Okay, so this was our workflow. So we had some kind of bug with the search functionality. Kevin fixed it, and now we are able to produce a test result that works. Okay, let's go to the slide. One last thing about Team Foundation Service. So Team Foundation Service has another release cadence than a box product. So the foundation server, you'll get a new version probably every 2 years. But with the service, it's something else. So the team at Microsoft is working in smaller and very small iterations. So each 3 weeks, they try to finish off a sprint. So they try to implement some new features in that sprint, and they will also push it to the service. So that means that the service will be a front runner for Team Foundation Server. So the service will contain new features compared to Team Foundation Server. So the new features on the service will only come to the product much later. So that's also some kind of benefit of using Team Foundation Service. Okay, next slide. So we also put up some resources on this resources slide. The most important thing to remember is to get it working on a service device, you also need to install the remote debugging tools so that you are able to connect with your service device and to capture what's going on there. So this is important to know. We have also linked to an MSDN article that also goes through a number of steps. All right.
There's one last thing. I didn't spend hours writing code for something geeky and then not show it.
Yep.
It's really geeky. I don't know if you're going to like it. I like it, but that's everybody's doing Harlem Shake, so I did it here as well. Con los terroristas. It spends 3 hours doing that, so we're not going to do that. So let's go back to the slide. Question time.
Yes, if you have questions, you can ask them. But let us first finish the other slide. So contact information, if you want to have more information about what we've done today, send us an email. We're also on Twitter. And we also want to promote our workshop. So we have also a specific workshop on what we have been doing today. So we will learn the people how to work with Team Foundation Service and how to create a Windows 8 app. And we'll also create guidance how to submit it to the store. And also other features of Team Foundation Server, like PowerPoint storyboarding, will also be part of the workshop. So you can still also register for the newsletter, and then you get a chance to also win a free seat to a training of Sparkles, or also to have some discount on this. All right, that was it for today. Questions? No, everyone wants to go home? All right, then we can close it here. Otherwise, come up to the front and ask some questions here. Thank you for staying, and see you next time.